In sports, the tape never tells the whole story. Hiring is no different. AI can make candidates look like an MVP on paper, so knowing the person and the skills behind the resume really matters. That's where Robert Half changes the game. Our recruiters combine their expertise with award-winning AI to evaluate skills and fit quickly. Learn how we can find you specialized talent in finance, accounting, technology, and more. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Meet your moment of calm. Primally Pure just expanded their Blue Tansy collection, and the new Blue Tansy Body Butter is already a ritual rooted in real life. It's cloud soft, it melts into the skin, and it's made from scratch with real biocompatible ingredients your body actually recognizes. Grass-fed tallow to fortify your skin barrier, mango and shea butters to replenish moisture, and beeswax for a breathable layer of protection. For mornings that feel full, for days that don't go as planned, for moments that seem chaotic, return to calm with skin that feels restored, protected, and buttery soft.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Coffee with Corey, a certain say Pack Power podcast. Either way, you're joining us live, Michael and I talking here a little bit about some pretty big news yesterday. Usually NC State waits until later in the season, really close to the season, actually last year, before they typically announce the number one jersey. But pretty big news with Duke Scott earning the number for this upcoming season. Obviously, a guy that was a leader for NC State last season stepped up despite being a backup running back, but somebody that a lot of people, I think, kind of said, you know, Not a big vocal leader, but somebody that just kind of proves himself each and every single time he steps out on the field and makes people want to follow him. So, Michael, just your initial thoughts on this, first of all, before we kind of jump into things and what it means for Duke Scott and why NC State chose him ultimately.
I think it's a really cool honor for a guy who was a backup last year. It speaks volumes to him. And going back to, I think I've known Duke now since he was a freshman or sophomore, since I started covering him. Really high character guy, just everything that's kind of right about college football when there's so much that's wrong. I think that now he obviously becomes a leader of your team. Not the most vocal guy. I think that is probably something you will see him grow into. Quite frankly, I think he's going to have to, Corey, because you've got some answers on this roster, but there are a lot of questions. And he is a guy where, you know, he rushed for 600 yards, close to 600 yards last year as a backup. What I'm saying is, you know what you're getting. You know what you're getting in the quarterback, and you know what you're getting in the running back. And then there are just a lot of questions all over this roster. I'm not saying that NC State doesn't have a chance to be a good football team. We just simply don't know, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And obviously the offensive line, top five receivers from last year no longer playing this year, this fall. So, again, you know what you have in Duke. Is he a 1,000-yard rusher this fall? I think there's a chance. That's assuming the offensive line gets figured out and they can, you know, hopefully take a step forward in that department.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the big things for him, and obviously, you know, knock on wood in saying this, but we'll talk about the leadership aspect here in a second of what it means to wear the number one jersey, but one of the things about Duke Scott over the years is obviously he's taken on a lot of hits and he's been more of a brute force kind of guy. Does have a little bit of breakaway speed. We saw that in the Georgia Tech game. We saw that, you know, he's not a guy that's easily tackled. We saw that in the Memphis game. But one of the things about him is he's remained healthy throughout his career. He's been a guy that's been able to be a workhorse back. He hasn't been asked to do that yet for NC State, but I mean, we talked about it when he was coming out of high school. I mean, if I remember correctly, he rushed for over 2,000 yards in one season, obviously playing in a little bit more of a, you know, wing T type, you know, option offense instead of playing in a more traditional passing system. But just, you know, what does it mean to have somebody that's willing to take on those hits and remain a healthy guy? And how important is that in trying to be, you know, a 1,000-yard rusher for NC State too?
Yeah, it's kind of a cliche, but you hear it all the time. You know, one of the best abilities is availability, and I think he offers that. You know, does he get banged up with the increased workload? You know, possibly. But if you've seen Duke in person, from top to bottom, real sturdy, big legs, you know, big torso. I mean, he is 5'9", 5'10", probably, but from top to bottom, just really put together, incredibly strong, probably one of the strongest guys on the roster, pound for pound. And, you know, I think this year he's probably going to have to tweak his running style a tad. He's still going to be the same back, but there are times where I think it's going to be important for him to avoid taking the big hit because, again, NC State desperately needs him. They need a healthy Duke Scott from start to finish. You know, outside of C.J. Bailey, would we argue that he's the most important player just because of the on the offense and obviously one of the most important players on the roster? His role, the increase, whatever you want to call it, of how much he's going to be asked to do this fall is going to be noticeably different than last year. So, again, I expect him to play well. I expect him to play well pretty early and have a great season. Again, a lot of this, though, is going to hinge on the offensive line, particularly in the interior guard and center. You've got to figure all that out and make sure you're just, quite frankly, better than you were last year. And if NC State is better up front, then, you know, Duke Scott is prime for a big year. And he's going to have a good year anyway. But to me, the offensive line is the question mark. Can they finally have seven or eight guys that they feel like can be on the field and they're not this massive drop-off, which in the past couple of years, and this is not an NC State-specific thing, we talked about this multiple times, not trying to get too far off topic, but you're literally holding you're crossing your fingers, hoping that you don't have an injury up front because it just creates such a problem for not just that position, but potentially the other positions because you're going to have to switch guys around and all the things that come with it. And again, if the offensive line is better, you're going to see a lot better version of C.J. Bailey and you're going to see a better version of Duke Scott.
Yeah, and I see a question here, and I'll throw that in at the very end because it's a little bit off topic from what we're talking about here. But with Duke Scott, this also gives you a little bit of an idea of the expectations for NC State of Duke Scott this upcoming year. We talked about it. He's obviously stepping into the number one back role, but you went out and got Bullet Goss. You obviously have a couple other young running backs that you feel like can step up in the system and be guys. But you know, you look back at the history of this, obviously – you know, the first 2 years, Jarvis Byrd, Hakeem Jones, not two guys that you're like, oh, man, those were standout players. But the following years, the last three offensive players, mind you, this is the first time since 2018 that NC State has had an offensive player wear the number one. Jalen Samuels wore it for 2 years in a row in 2016, 2017. He was a dude. Steph Lewis wore it in 2018. He went through injury issues, but obviously – the expectations were for him to be, you know, a number one, number two receiver alongside at that time, Kelvin Harmon and Jacoby Myers. And then the following year, James Smith Williams, a starter along the defensive line. Isaiah Moore, three straight years, one of the most productive linebackers for NC State over that 3 year stretch outside of 1 year where he was injured. Davin Van, the following 2 years, one of the more productive defensive ends for NC State over that span, especially from a pass rushing standpoint. And then last year, Caden Fordham, the guy that led NC State in tackles overall, the guy that was coming back from an injury but ended up being the dude on the defensive side of the football when NC State absolutely needed him. So what does this say about the expectations from a production standpoint, the expectations from, you know, being a guy on the offensive side of the football for Duke Scott this upcoming season too?
Well, I just think it further emphasizes the leaders of this team. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously C.J. Bailey, we know, soon to be 3 year starter, could have made a case. Could he have been the number one jersey? I think what it sets up for Duke is not just for this year, but the year and the year after, potentially, assuming how things go. Because to me, he feels like a guy who, once he's awarded this jersey, I mean, he's not going to turn it over until he leaves NC State. I mean, I think he's the guy potentially you have who can thrive in this role. I think, does this mean you see him at ACC Media Days? It feels like that's a foregone conclusion at this point if you're awarded this jersey And I, for those fans who haven't followed him as closely, again, I can't say enough good things about this kid. He is everything that is right about college football. He is, even in high school, talking to a 15, 16-year-old kid, you felt at the time like you were speaking with a guy in his late 20s, early 30s, who had a family, kids, the whole nine. I mean, he's it. Is he a flashy type back? No, he's not. You're not going to see the maybe make you miss the dynamic plays that you saw from Hollywood Smothers, but I do think you're going to see a more durable, maybe more long-term solution at the running back position. Again, and that's all, who knows how the season goes, but he feels like kind of a cornerstone for you this year and beyond, because I think the elephant in the room is, not saying we know he's gone, but assuming CJ plays at the level he's played or takes a step forward, which is kind of hard to envision him not at this point, just because he's so talented and not, like, again, not to get too far off topic, saw him at camp this past weekend at Dave Dorn's camp, noticeably bigger. Yeah. I'd say 15 to 20 pounds heavier than a season ago. Why I bring him up is because he's likely going to head to the NFL draft after this year. I don't see him in college football past this year. I think at 20 years old, you know, he's going to have to go because his stock, assuming he plays well, is going to just, I mean, you know, it's going to be a good quarterback draft, but I would argue from a physical standpoint, again, not to get too far off topic, Corey, that his physical tools are as good as anybody in the country. Has he the best quarterback in the country? Has he played like? No, he has not. I'm saying his physical profile checks out. So what I bring this back to Duke is he is a leader not only this year, but you hope you can continue to build around him for years to come. And, again, I think he will embrace this role. I think he will be sensational in this role. I'm expecting a big year for him. Even if the offensive line is the same, I think Duke has a 1,000-yard potential. I don't know if that's really a goal for NC State as a football team. I think a goal for them, obviously, is to win week in and week out, but to have a healthy Duke Scott down the stretch, because he is a guy, obviously, not as crippling as an injury to CJ Bailey, but he's a guy, if you lose, you know, there's not going to be replacing Duke Scott. I think he's that good. I think he proved himself last year, and he's just incredibly important, like I said, this year and beyond.
Well, yeah, and one of the things I was going to say, too, you mentioned C.J. Bailey as maybe a candidate. This is probably a similar situation to what you had with Peyton Wilson a few years ago, where you know, they went to Peyton Wilson. They said, hey, do you want to move from this jersey? Do you want to wear the number one? And he's like, nah, number 11 is what I grew up wearing. That's what I want to wear. And, you know, they stuck with that. And then, obviously, C.J. Bailey getting the opportunity to wear, yet again, the number 11, you know, the jersey that he wore in high school. He had to wear number 16 his first year because of the fact that somebody else is wearing the number 11 on the offensive side of the football. So he's able to switch over to that. And clearly that's something that he wants to stick with. I'm sure, you know, he would have probably been, if not 1A, been 1B along with Scott in this situation. But you've got a lot of new faces on the defensive side of the football that are coming in that, you know, if they had been here multiple years, probably would have been candidates too. But, you know, having Duke Scott in this system, and again, you know, he was a guy that last offseason, the numbers for him were crazy. Like, they, you know, talked about the fact that he was able to bend, what was it, able to squat over 500 pounds as a running back, able to, you know, like, that was put on the freaks list for a reason. You know, so, like, again, not only the on-the-field things that he does, but the off-the-field things, being one of the first guys in the you know, being one of the first guys in the weight room, being a guy that's a standout on the offensive side of the football in the weight room, you know, despite being, mind you, he is 5'10".
Maybe.
Yeah. Listed at 5'10", 225 pounds. Give you an idea of, you know, how good of weight he carries. The guy that, like Kyle Evans, that plays for NC State on the basketball side, 6'10", 215 pounds. So slightly different body styles there. And clearly he's able to carry that weight pretty well. I mean, you know, like, how much of the off the field stuff kind of factors into this too? Because obviously what we see on the field is huge, but off the field, like, he's just been, I mean, I know you've talked to D'Antonio Burnett and talked to some other people about this in the past. Like, he's just, you see, you hear so much behind the scenes about, like, this, he's been an absolute dude in the weight room every single time he steps on.
Well, I think you hear the word culture, and a lot of people equate culture to what you see on the field on Saturday. And to me, culture every year is something, you know, that's it's not guaranteed. It's something you kind of have to earn, and it's earned every day. And when you talk about NC State's football team collectively, I think Thunder is a tremendous tone setter in the off season, and that I think is where the foundation of your culture is built. The 5 a.m. runs, the 5 a.m. lifts outside in the summer when it's 100 degrees and the humidity's 100. You know, those dog days are where your leaders really, really, really matter. I'm not saying it's not important during the season. I think we all know that part of the football, but I think this is a bigger thing to speak to the offseason he's also had. I think when Hollywood left, it was obvious he had to step up. You know, he was going to be the answer, they hope, at running back, especially after what he showed last year. So, again, this leadership role extends far past Saturdays. I mean, it is every day in practice. And even if Duke's not the most vocal guy, just the example he sets day in and day out for these younger guys, because Corey, the roster turnover year in and year out is pretty incredible, not just at NC State right now, everywhere. I mean, you're on a yearly basis on average probably 40 to 50 new guys on your roster. So again, I would argue obviously CJ's their most important player, but Duke's right there behind him, especially given the question marks that I see defensively. We've talked a lot about this off air, and I'm sure we'll do a podcast on it. It's not that we think NC State can't be good or better on defense. It's just we simply don't know. And we don't know at receiver. We don't know at tight end because you lost all that you lost, and you have some good pieces on the offensive line. But, again, that unit still has to come together. So the importance of him can't be overstated. But again, but this was not a decision that was made yesterday, last week, or a month ago. I think, you know, it is a kind of a culmination of the past probably, what, 6 months since the season ended. And it goes from, you know, the off-season weight training to the conditioning, the whole nine. It just, again, speaks volumes about him. And, you know, did it at first, did it seem, were you kind of surprised? Maybe, because I think most assumed it was going to be CJ. But again, Duke, I think, is an ideal representative. Not to say CJ wouldn't be. I don't think he could have gone wrong either way. But I think Duke is presents the identity Dave Doran wants, not only the football team to have this year, but going forward. Just, I mean, he's just got his stuff together. That's the easiest way I can say it.
Yeah, looking back at the freaks list stuff from last year, and obviously these numbers will change, and D'Antonio Burnett said that he feels like it'll go up significantly based on what he told Bruce Feldman last offseason. But he said that he power cleaned 375 pounds, and he expects him to go over 405 this season, and then he squatted 550 last year. So I said 500. It was actually more than that. On top of that, he was a sprinter in the high school level. Vertical jump 37 and a half inches, ran a 4.35 40 and clocked a 4.23 shuttle. Like those are ridiculously good.
These numbers. Are electronic times too. Was also, I believe, was he a sub 10, 800 meter guy? That's electronic times. I think about it on 10.7 at some point. I can't remember because it's been a couple of years, but again, just a foundational kind of building block for what's setting up to be the 2026 version of the NC State Wolfpack.
Yeah, and the last thing I wanted to point out, too, just looking at the rest of the way, obviously I think on the offensive side of the football, typically NC State's gone with four captains. They could go with more this season. They might, you know, choose a special teams guy as well, but they've typically gone with four. I think on the offensive side of the football, it's pretty clear Duke Scott more than likely will get a captain, and then we know that C.J. Bailey, a guy that will probably get the captain patch. I mean – along the offense, the rest of the offense, it feels like, you know, maybe a guy like Teague Anderson or, Spike Soles might get that given, you know, how big of vocal leaders they've been. But just your thoughts on the defensive side of the football, who might get, you know, kind of a captain's role. I mentioned it earlier, like there's so many fresh faces, so many new guys on the defensive side of the football. Like who are some guys that might step into those leadership roles this season?
I think Jackson Vick pops up just because he's been in the program for this is year five for him. I thought played well. The thing, the question mark for him has just been health. It's never been ability. I mean, he's one of the probably best athletes on the football team. I mean, just a freakish type athlete, twitchy, good size, speed, the whole nine. And he showed, I think, quite a bit last year. Is he potentially a guy? He feels like a favorite, a leader in the clubhouse. And again, Jackson's like CJ and Duke, really high character guy. Known him since he was a freshman in high school, and just really cool to kind of see him kind of emerge and finally be healthy for a season. You know, beyond that, do you go the transfer route? Do you pick an experienced guy? Yeah, I don't know. I think that one is maybe to be determined. But, and again, I'm not saying Jackson Vick is a shoe-in. Could it be Brian Nelson? It could be anybody. Could it be Popo Aguirre from Miami, just because he's going to essentially be the quarterback of the defense, making those calls? I mean, if you ask me today, I'd probably lean towards him and Jackson Vick, just because of, you know, just since he's arrived on campus from Miami, it feels like he is really taking the bull by the horns from a leadership standpoint. Let's face it, Corey's coming from a championship program. You know, he knows what it takes. You know, obviously it takes good players, but there has to be a mindset. There has to be a day in, day out, you know, buy-in from not only the captains, but the people around him. And how does that buy-in happen? Belief in the coaching staff and then belief in the captains. They're the guys that, you know, everybody, even guys who've been in the program for multiple years, they're going to look to get the season off to the start they're looking for, and then just kind of maintain. And then when things go south, because there's going to be low points in every season, and how do those guys lift up the program is going to be key this year and every year beyond.
Yeah, one other guy that I'll throw in that mix too, just, you know, from a veteran standpoint, a guy that's been around the program for a long time and also somebody that I just think has really good standing within the program, is Isaiah Shirley. Along the defensive line, like if you were looking for sure in the trenches too.
Well, and he's one of the few guys up front, Corey, not sort of cut you, like that you kind of have an idea what you're getting. Like, I just think there's so many players on the deep in the front six, front seven, depending on, or front five, or however they're lined
up. Yeah.
That's pretty irrelevant. That you think are going to be good players, or you think you have an idea about the rotation, but we just don't know. And that is, I think, both concerning and also gives you a sense of optimism, because you feel like you upgraded via the portal. It is a yearly, annual conversation that you have to have as a staff and as a program. Are you better than last year? And to me, you break that down by position group, and at the end of the day, you hope that there are more pluses than minuses going into the season at each position.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And yeah, I agree with you on the Popo Aguirre one too. I think if you're looking for a transfer that might be able to earn that, that's probably the one guy. Last thing here, this was kind of off topic a little bit, but a little bit on topic here. PL Lamaccio, I believe is how you say it, says, do you project your offensive line to take a step forward this year, both passing and rush blocking? I mean, I'll answer first. I don't know. You know, that's the biggest thing is, you know, I think that Spike Soles and Teague Anderson will get better. The one thing I will say from a confidence standpoint, I haven't been able to see them and we haven't seen them in game action. But the one thing that I like from a confidence standpoint so far is the fact that we've heard they might keep Spike Soles and Teague Anderson in their initial positions, like keep them at right guard and right tackle, because they like what they've gotten from Daniel Cruz at the center position. They like what they've gotten from Jamarian McCrimmon at the left tackle position. So they don't feel the need to move either one of them to, you know, I think Spike Soles would like to eventually be at the center spot, but he was really good at right guard this past year and has a chance to be all ACC at right guard this year if he sticks there. But the fact that you feel confident enough in Jamarian McCrimmon for him to be the guy kind of coming out of spring camp as the one that has that position by the reins, at least for the time being, gives me a little bit of confidence about what they at least saw during spring camp.
Yeah, I think you start with left tackle and Jamarian McCrimmon. It has to start there. You're protecting the blind side. It's the most important position on the offensive line. You invested a significant amount of resources to get him to campus, to get him on the team. Long-term potential, Everybody I've talked to seems to think, you know, he's an NFL guy. I think the length he is, you know, not to say Jacarius Peake can't play tackle or won't play tackle at the next level. I just think McCrimmon has the measurables, you know, 6'6", 300 plus pounds, long arms, all those things. And I just continue to hear great things about him, but we've got to see it. To me, it's all about getting the best five on the field. And we talk about that every year, but I really think there's an emphasis on that this fall because of what you've invested in the quarterback. You've got to keep him upright. And I think it's worth mentioning that Garrett Toujae, what's he going into, year 4 or 5? I mean, you can argue about what you think of the offensive line. What you can't argue about is the overall talent level that is on this team, from recruiting at the prep level to the portal. I mean, it's night and day compared to where it was. And, you know, if we want to, you know, not to open a can of worms, one of the biggest reasons State probably hadn't been able to compete for or go to a championship game is probably you're just at times just not good enough up front on the offensive line. Well, I think you feel like for the first time in a while, maybe that you've got a good combination of veterans and some young guys that haven't really played snaps yet, but were 4-star and high three and 4-star recruits, that you feel like they're ready to have some type of role this fall. Again, I always talk about it, but it's worth mentioning. Need to get to 8 guys. Because guys get hurt. They get hurt everywhere, but offensive line with the size and just the physical pounding they take, you have to get to a point, I think, if they're going to reach their potential, if you've got 7 or 8 guys you can put on the field where you're not like, oh my God, if somebody gets hurt, you know, CJ's going to get killed. In the past, you've kind of, again, held your breath, but I think, again, for the first time, you feel better about it. So I feel better about the depth. I just don't know about it being better. It's pretty cut and dry for me, not to go again off topic. If NC State is better up front this fall on both sides of the ball, they're going to be a better team. If not, you know, if it's a wash, your ceiling is severely limited, regardless of who the quarterback is, regardless of who the running back is. It's all got to start up front. I think we saw that last year. You know, in the games the State really struggled, you were just completely outmanned against Notre Dame and Miami. And to be honest, so were most of their opponents. But there's just such an importance there. I think CJ, we've talked about that too, Corey, has got to elevate players around him, make players better. That's kind of the next step, and that's what all great quarterbacks do. Yeah. And that goes for the offensive line as well. Getting rid of the football, making smart decisions, not holding on to the ball, and taking sacks, which makes life really hard on the offensive line. So it is a collective thing here. But, you know, I think I can't answer that question. I'd like to. I think the depth is going to be better, but I don't know.
It's still a little early in the season, or in the offseason, to be able to determine that, given the fact that we haven't been able to see nearly enough. I mean, I don't think the coaching staff has been.
I feel better about the offensive line. What I will say is I feel better about the offensive line than the defensive line. I just think that there's a lot of question marks there.
Especially from a depth standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the projected starters, Corey, a lot of these guys, they had roles last year, but not the type of roles that they're going to be asked to have this year. And you just never know how guys will handle that. I think your hope is if you're NC State, you feel like you've recruited well enough to, if we're being honest, some of these guys they just aren't going to live up to it. They're probably going to get benched, or there's going to be more of a rotation than we think. So there's going to be a lot of give and take, especially on the defensive side of the ball between now and, you know, the opener.
Yep. Well, I think that'll just about wrap this one up. We went a little bit over, but we will talk much more football here in the coming weeks. And I know we'll start doing our, you know, depth chart breakdowns and things along those lines as we get closer to fall camp. But Michael, I appreciate you for jumping on and talking a little bit about Duke Scott, the number one jersey, and what it means for the program too. So for Michael, I'm Corey Smith. We'll sign off on this episode of Coffee with Corey. Talk to you guys soon.